close it or?
No,
well,
yeah,
we couldn't
get in almost.
Well, it is working.
I thought y'all.
Let's get to. We're rolling. We're rolling here, Frank. We're rolling. We're live.
Live.
First Corinthians chapter 3, verse. So we left off at verse. Jenny. We left off at verse 17. Well, we'll pick up at verse 17. And just as a recap, since you guys missed it, we did talk. Well, you were here, right? We left off at 17. I believe we left off at 17. I should have written that down. But anyway, we know that Paul's writing to the Corinthians. He's trying to remind them that he's just a co-laborer. He's just a laborer, as well as Apollos and Peter. They were having divisions in Corinth, and Paul had to remind them that they were all working towards the same goal, and that was to help them. They shouldn't take sides or pick sides with any particular speaker, even though Paul was the apostle. If anything, you would think that, and he does say this in the book, that they should follow him. They should receive him. But he didn't flaunt his authority in that way, in a way as to tell them that I don't want you to listen to them, because they share the same goal. Yeah, I remember a pastor who said this, and this was a grace pastor. When I say grace pastor, this is a pastor who believes in Paul's message. And there were some people that they were going to other assemblies, like we, but these people, they also believe Paul's message. And this pastor said, "Why are you going over there?"
Who cares?
Because that is when, that's what you call, like Peter uses this phrase. He said, they are lording over your faith. You know, if somebody lords over you, what does that mean? They're trying to control you. If you're hearing grace and you want to go hear another speaker, because you can't say that all the edification rests with you.
But some think so.
But that's what Paul says. He says, whether it was me, whether it's Apollos, he says, this is for you. All things are for you. And we'll get down to that. But he didn't try to control them, because he knew this. They were working together. And they were working for who? For God. They were working for God. So Paul says, it doesn't matter to me. If he's laboring, he'll account to God, not me. If this man's laboring, he'll account to God, not me. And Paul said, even me. He says, I will account to God and not to you. Now that's the man who he has it right. That's why he can say, it doesn't matter if you sit under this man, if you sit under that man, as long as, look at verse, and we covered this, but look at verse 10, or verse 9. He says, we are 3 and 9. He says, we are laborers together with who? With God. He says, verse 10, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. Who is another? Who would be the another?
Another teacher.
Another teacher. In this case, it would be Apollos, maybe Peter, whomever. Paul says, another, I laid the foundation, another builds on it. Which is, he's the one who established the church at Corinth. And as the apostle of grace, they should listen to him. He had the plan for their edification. He says, verse 11. Let me read the rest of verse 10. He says, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build on this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So you see, Paul, he lays down the evaluation of a man's work is up to God. God is the one who will determine whether you labored correctly or not. God is the one who will determine whether you receive a reward for the work that you put in. So you can have a man who maybe he preached 60 years. But that doesn't mean that his work will abide God's scrutiny. Well, you think, I'll give you an example. This is something that you can relate to. Billy Graham.
Exactly what I was thinking about.
Billy Graham is 90.
Or 80.
He's old. And what Billy Graham did was he preached salvation. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
He preached that, which is great. But after a man gets saved, then what?
Walk his way to heaven.
That's what it is. How can he do that? How can he walk the straight and narrow if he doesn't know what the straight and narrow is?
Mm-hmm.
So this is what when Paul said this. It's God's will that all men be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth. That's two things. So you can have, that's why we have a lot of saints now who get saved and what? They don't know the next step.
They go to sleep.
You know what? They do go to sleep. Paul said, you know what? Awake, thou that sleepest. Arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. But what gives us light is the information. And that's where we disconnect is here. We get saved, and then they put us on the treadmill. Right. Because you're working and laboring, but you're working and laboring for the building. You're not working and laboring for the Lord.
Working and laboring for the law.
They got you. You know what? Selling for the what?
For the law.
For the law, right? It's their performance that they put you on. You go. You know what? We'll get back here in a second though. I mean, I visit other places, right? Thank you. I go to other places, other Sunday schools, churches sometimes, and I just like to see how religion works. I go there to try to help, but this is how religion works. Excuse me. I went to a place, and it was a Sunday school, and I would go there maybe I would make it a point to go there maybe once a month, and every time I'd go there I would come in and I would just sit in the back and sit down, and you know, you'd go there, they'd welcome, you know, some would welcome you, some wouldn't even acknowledge you. Well, we're glad to have you. And after about 4 or 5 visits, they were doing the Sunday school, and the pastor was going through his thing, and he said, "You have a comment?" And I said, "You know what? I do have a comment, but it's not related to the lesson so much." So, excuse me, I said, "I've been coming here for a while now. Like 5 times I've been here. And for those people who even said, you know, how you doing? I said, do you know my name? And they didn't.
Nobody.
I said, you don't know my name, and I don't know your name. And I've been here 5 times. I said, and some of the responsibility could lie on me because maybe I should be friendly enough to say, what's your name? What's your name? But I'm coming into your assembly. And you let me come in week after week, and you let me go out. You don't know my name. You don't even know if I'm saved. You don't know if I'm a believer. You don't know what's on my mind.
Could they say, I care less than all you people?
So, excuse me. I said that is. I'm not saying that in a critical way. I'm saying this with charity. I was. Because that's not the way the body is to function. That's the way church functions. But that's what difference between church and the church.
Mm-hmm.
Church is the building and the religious activity that we do week after week. The church is the members of the body of Christ who, through the doctrine, develop the care for each other.
You said all this?
No, I didn't say all that. But I think, you know what, I think they understood what I meant.
I doubt it.
I think they did. But so the point is we still are, we've been doing it so long where anything outside of that seems abnormal. We've been doing it wrong so long that when somebody shows you the right way, you say, that can't be the right way. Give you another example. We'll give this one, and then we will get back on here. When I first came here, when I first met Ed, and you all can say this too, when I first met Ed and Annette, and we began to come to the class and everything, and you come in, and you know what they do, huh? They hug you, tell you they love you, and I'm thinking, what's wrong with these people?
All up in your
face. And
I love Lawrence.
But you know what? It's and I had to think about it. I said, right, because they really care about your growth. And then I thought, you know what? Is it them that's weird, or is it me that's weird?
You've never been in a place like this before.
No. Look at this verse. Watch this. Look at this verse. Look at 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 16. And Frank, don't say anything out of the way here. First Corinthians.
My wife hates it when I open my mouth. She wants to get up and leave.
16:19. 1 Corinthians 16:19 says, the churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord with the church that is in their house. All the brethren greet you. What's the next verse say? Since it says, greet ye
one
another with what? A holy kiss. You see, now that's then. Right. That's different, right.
And that's whatever you think it is, right?
And that's, no, that's what, holy is a separated, sanctified, and that's, Paul said this, and he says in as far as the, when you treat other people, that's why he has to explain these things, because he know it's, he didn't say greet each other with a kiss, he said greet one another with a holy kiss.
And
you know, people still do that now. And actually, even when I go to my grandmother's church down south, they do that. Mm-hmm. The older people, they still do that. But what I'm getting at is the affection that's there, the sincere affection that's there. And here, it's that you can go to an assembly now for years, and then I don't know if that guy that's sitting in the back, you always sit right there. They don't even know the guy's name. He's been here 40 years, and he's like, oh, that's brother. Who is that guy?
And that's not even a big church.
Look, like Paul. Paul, these things ought not to be. Not for the body of Christ. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So with Paul, well, now we go back to chapter 3.
He hadn't missed that tonight.
What's that?
He hadn't missed this tonight, and he don't even know what he missed.
Well, he might hear the tape. But when Paul is, this is what the doctrine does. This is what the information does. Is it gets our thinking right? It gets our, if we have the right information, then we can at least be informed as to how it should be done. And you have a choice. You can make an intelligent choice. And some people don't know. You know what Paul says this in Corinthians. In several of his books, he'll use phrases like this. I would not have you to be ignorant.
Mm-hmm.
Or he'll say in Corinthians. He said this over 20 times to the Corinthian church. He says, know ye not. Know ye not this. Know ye not. Know ye not that your body is a temple. Know ye not. He'll keep asking this question, and it's more of a challenge. Because if he had to ask them, what does that mean?
They didn't know it.
They didn't know it. And you know they didn't know it because their behavior didn't show it. Watch this. Let me show you. Well, look at, we're right here. Chapter 3. The next verse 16. First thing he said, what? Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Did you know that?
Mm-hmm.
I was listening to, this was a sermon that, I don't know why I was listening to this, but it was a lady. And I stopped there for a minute. I said, let me see what she's going to say. And the lady was saying, what was the title? The title was,
you talking about that lady? Churches
now? No, this was this lady. She said the title was, it was something catchy, but I lost it. But anyway, it had something to do with this: that do you have the Holy Spirit? Like he can get away from you.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm listening, and I'm thinking, She didn't know. And she's preaching. And Paul, if Paul could address her, he would say, know ye not that you are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Now that, we're just going to go with that message. That message that she preached, will it abide or not? Will it abide the fire or not?
Not. Big old N-O-T.
Big old N-O-T. It will not abide because it's against what?
The preaching.
It's against the preaching?
The
truth. It's against the truth. Because here, Paul said this. The moment you believe, what happens?
You accept his word.
He said, the moment you believe, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise.
Mm-hmm.
The moment you believe, the Holy Spirit comes in and he sets up residence in you. Resident in you. And is there until what? The day of redemption. So you can't lose.
Bad guy, he's still hanging around.
He's still there. That's why he'll say, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed to the day of redemption. You can't, if you grieve him in the Old Testament, you know what? He could leave.
She could get a gun on him now and
Let's, you know what? And grieve. You know, he's sitting there groaning. If we can actually hear or see the Holy Spirit in us when we go through our shenanigans, he would, you know what? You would say, wow, why do they treat him like that? Why do they abuse him like that? And he's there and he can't leave. Isn't that something? Listen, there's a passage in the... Let me get back over here. I will say this. There's a passage in the Old Testament where when the children of Israel, they went out to camp. They would go out to camp. And the Lord said this. He says, while they're out, and they were actually fighting for Israel. And he says, in the campground, he said, even if you have to relieve yourself, he said, you have to go out of the camp. And he said this. He said, because I am dwelling in the midst. Isn't that something? Mm-hmm. I'm thinking, now, listen, you can't even, if God's in the midst of them, he says, I don't even want you to use the restroom in this vicinity. He said, if you want to, you have to go out. Now, here we are. We have the Holy Spirit in us. And we go anywhere, do anything, say anything, think anything.
That's the worst part. Thank
you. And he says, and he's in there. Listen to anything, watch anything.
Never thought of it quite that way before.
Well, he says, look at chapter 6. We're not that far yet, but look at chapter 6.
First Corinthians,
chapter 6.
Okay.
6. Look at verse... Well, you know what? Let's pick it up at 15, because he's using those phrases again. He says, verse 15, he says what?
Know
ye not. There it is again. Know ye not that your bodies are the what?
Members of
Christ. Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid. What? There it is again. Know ye not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two saith he shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not, again, that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is at the church. In the building. You got to get them. You have to work for them. He's where? In you, which you have of God. And you are not
your own.
See, we check out right there. Here you go. You know what? We'll say, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? Amen. Glory to God. Which is in you, which you have of God? Thank God. Amen. And you are not your own? Uh-oh.
Amen.
Now, we don't amen on that part, because if you realize that it's not your body, then you got to go to the next verse. And the next verse says what? For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are
God's.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's why, you know what? Information. Now, you got that information. You can never say now, well, God, I didn't know you bought me. When you say, yeah, I did. You read it. He'll show it to you. You read it on 9/30/2014, and you still did what you wanted with that body. You know what? It'll be like divine TiVo or the Hopper or all those. He'll run it right back by you and say, you know what? Oh, you heard it. You heard it.
But when you hear it in your view.
And you know how you hear things like, he said, no, you heard it, and you read it. And here's, this is what grace is, though. Grace is, he brought you, he paid for you, and he asked you to do what? Submit. Surrender. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice. He can't make you do it because that's inconsistent with grace. All he can do is ask for the thing that he bought. Can you imagine you bought your house? You buy your house, you go in, you sit at the table, you close the deal, and they give you the key. And you go there, and you pull in, you got the trailer, everything, and then you knock on the door, and you ask the guy, can I move in? You just what? You just bought it. And the guy says, no. And you say, well, wait a minute. We paid a lot of money for this. He said, I don't care. That's insane, isn't it? Well, what do you think God thinks when he says, I bought you, and then he turns around and asks you, can I use that body? And you say, no. I'm using this right now. That's hard to believe, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. And God said, I'm convicting you now.
But he let, you know what? He'll let you go on 5, 10, 15, 20, 30,
60,
you know what? This what? It's possible for a believer to be, what is it? Let's take Lucas. Say Lucas is 12 or 13 and he's a believer, and he may not present his body until he gets 50 years old.
And the only reason for that is you.
That's, you know what? But I know there's younger kids who've done it, and they present it right away.
But there's something bad.
It rains. You know what? 10s, the 20s, 30s, 40s, doesn't matter. I would say, you know what? I can remember the day that I did present my body. And yet, I didn't understand what I understand now. I'll explain to you what I mean. Is I remember, and it was in Detroit. I had been saved over 10 years. So, and sitting there, and the pastor was preaching, and he says, you know, who you're going through that? You know, sometimes you're not really listening. And it was kind of like, and this one, he said, have you ever done that? And it became real clear to him. Have you ever done that? Have you ever presented your body to the Lord? That's where, you know, all the other stuff, that's what I said. Sometimes the rest of it is not for you, but it can be one verse. And he said, and I was like, then something else. He said, have you ever presented your body to the Lord? It's like, oh. And I knew that day, God was talking to me. The Word of God was talking. That's how you are to receive it. Not as the pastor talking to me. It was like God standing up and says, have you presented your body to me today? And I knew that way, you know what? It was me. And I said, wow. You know what? I never thought about it. 10 years. I'm teaching. I'm preaching, man. But I never done that. And it shook me up so much where he said, you know what? He said, you can do it right now. Sitting right there, he said, you don't have to, it's not some extravagant thing that you got to do. He said, in your heart, you said, Lord, I know you want my body. Here it is. And then you begin to educate yourself as to what he wants to do with it. And that night, some Wednesday night, I got up. And we were in the basement. I got up, and we'll get back here. So I got up, and I went upstairs to the office. And I went upstairs to the office, and I sat in the chair. The pastor's desk was over here, the table, and then I sat in the chair in the front. And I sat in the chair, and I sat down, and I said, you know what, I said, Lord, here it is. I know what, because I know me. I know the things I was doing. I know the things I was thinking. I knew all that. And I sat there, and I said, Lord, here it is. I know you want it. This is it. I said, from this day forward, I may not do it all right, but I want to do it. And I began to cry. And next thing I know, the pastor was coming in the office. I'm thinking, what are you doing in here? You're supposed to be teaching. But it was over. The class was over. But I didn't realize I had been up there that long. And he said, what's wrong with you? And I was like, nothing. But, I mean, he probably put it together, you know. But I don't know what day that was. I don't know what year that was. I just know it happened. But since then, I know now that it's not a one-time thing, the presentation. That's why it's living. You know what? And we joke, if I present it today, I may not do it tomorrow. If it's dead, you know what? It's not moving. If it's dead, if I leave, it's still going to be there when I get back. But if it's living, and I put it up there, I might come back the next day and what?
Do it again.
It's gone. It could be gone. Let me give you a different example and we get back to this. If you had a pet, and you put your pet, you say, stay right here, Spike, till I get back. If he's obedient and he comes back, he'll be what?
Sitting right there.
He'll be right there. But if he becomes disobedient, you might come back and turn the curve and where? Where's Spike? He could be anywhere. The living sacrifice is this. I'll present it today. And you say, great. We'll be back tomorrow at 7. And I'll use you again. 7 o'clock comes, what? Where is the guy? He said, well, not today, Lord. Got something else planned today. That's what living sacrifice is, up to you. You can do it or not. That make sense?
Yes.
All right, back to chapter 3. He said, 16, know ye not that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. And this is why it's so important, the message that we hear. The messages that we hear. When I say messages, the doctrine that we take in. Did you know this? You should know this, but did you know that God wants you to hear a particular thing today? A particular message today. And that message is through Paul's writings.
And you teach them.
And we all should be. When I say we all, everywhere you go, you know what the scripture says, that in every city, this was before Paul, in every city, look at Acts, hold your hand there, look at Acts, I want you to read this. Acts 22.
What?
wait a second. Acts. Well, I thought it was 20. Let's see. Look back at 21. I think maybe it's 21.
21 it is.
21. Start at verse, that's not there. It may come up to me. Verse 20. Verse 19. 21, 19. Let's start there and maybe I'll find this verse.
19.
21, 19. Says, this is Paul. He was going up to Jerusalem to talk to the Jews. And they found him. They saw him and they knew what Paul was teaching. So they confronted him. He says in verse 19, and when he had saluted them, he declared particularly what things God had wrought among the Gentiles by his ministry. And when they heard it, they glorified the Lord and said unto him, thou seest, brother, how many thousands of Jews there are which believe, and they are all zealous of the law. And they are informed of thee, that thou teachest all the Jews which are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, saying that they ought not to circumcise their children, neither to walk after the customs. What is it therefore the multitude must needs come together, because they will hear that thou art come? And there's another verse, and this is not the one. It was, they said to Paul, he says, that in every city, he have those Jews that teach Moses. Mm-hmm. In every city. And I said that to say this, is that was the doctrine that they had been taught. So you can go to any city of the Jews and go into the synagogue, and what did they preach?
Moses.
Where it should be today, it should be this way. You should be able to walk in any assembly, anywhere. And you should be able to hear Paul. Not Paul himself, but Paul's message. Because that's the message of the hour today. That's what God is saying today in this dispensation of grace. That's why we do what we want now. Because we don't have any guideline. Nobody knows what the guideline is. So you go over here, and they preach something else. And you go over here and they preach something. And you go over here and they preach something. And everybody's confused.
Does all religions have the same grace? Or is grace different in some Bibles?
No, you come to
a religion.
What's that?
We have a religion.
Yeah. Grace is this. Grace is what Christ has done and what Christ has provided for us. Everybody has access to the same grace if they're believers. But Paul said this. I was thinking about what he said. If you went into wherever you went and went to the certain assemblies or whatever, if they preached grace, you would know it. Not if they use the word grace, if they preach grace. You know, most times you hear the word, the guy says grace, and you think, oh, he's a grace preacher. But it's more to it than that. And when you hear, I believe that when you hear grace, you'll know the difference between grace and works. Yeah, am I right?
Is the message the same when all preachers teach grace? Does it come from these writings that we're...
No, that's what Paul's writing about right here. He's saying, I've laid the foundation. I'm telling you that if a man is going to preach to you, that he should be following me. And if he doesn't, God is going to evaluate him anyway. So he says that you should be real careful about what you preach.
hand, on the other hand, on what you listen to.
On what you listen to. But you know what? He holds the laborer more accountable because the people wanted, they want to be established. They want to be edified.
But they have to study to learn the difference.
They, you know what? That's how we you build it up is when you get the proper information, then you're able, as you get older and older, you're able to identify what's right and what's not right. That's why it's so important that, you know what, that you get it before you give it to somebody else.
Exactly.
That's why Paul said, he said, your work will be tried, or what sort it is.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll receive a reward for the labor that you put out, whether it's good or bad. All right, let's try to get to the end of the book here. He says, let no man deceive himself. You know, by the way, that's why Paul, even when Paul says, know ye not, he also uses another phrase too, where he says, I would not have you to be ignorant. He uses that over and over again also. He says, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. You know, that's Paul can say that if any man think himself to be wise is I remember when a guy I was when I first got saved and I was talking to everybody. You know, I didn't know a whole lot, but I knew what I knew. I knew it was right. And I was at Coney Island. I would go to this Coney Island and eat breakfast on Saturday before work. And I sat in Detroit. And I sat next to a guy. He worked for the post office. And he had his sack, and he set it down. And we were sitting there talking, and I was reading. And he's like, I see you reading. And I was like, yeah, reading. He said, that's good. See a young guy like you reading. He said, that's good. And he was like, you know, where you go and this and that. And then he said, have you got the Holy Spirit? And I said, yeah, I got the Holy Spirit. He said, have you been baptized with the Holy Spirit? And I have the Holy Ghost. I said, the Holy Spirit has baptized me into the body of Christ. And he was like, no, I mean, have you got the baptism of the Holy Ghost that gives you power? I said, that's not in operation today, what they received back in Acts 2. And he looked at me, he's like, what?
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, I've been doing this for X amount of years. He said, I've been doing this for so many years, and you trying to tell me you know more than me?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you said that.
Uh-oh.
I didn't say anything about how much I knew. I said, that's not in operation today, what you're talking about. And this verse right here, he says, let, if any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become what?
Ooh.
A fool that he may be what?
Wise.
Here's the deal, is I knew what I was saying was right. He was too smart to be educated by God. You ever meet some people? They're too smart. They're too smart in their own mind to be educated by God. Whether he's 20 years, I've been doing this 20 years. You know what? You've been wrong for 20 years. That's no big deal. There's people who, just because a thing is done, the length of time does not mean it's right. We don't believe that. We've been doing this for 100 years. You've been wrong for 100 years. I don't have a problem with that. You might have a problem with that. That's just the way it is. And that's what they say. You mean to tell me that my pastor, who's been preaching for 50 years, is wrong? Yeah. I mean to tell you that he's wrong.
You read the same book as he does?
That's See, that's what they may not. We have to get that. That just because we've been believing a certain thing for so long does not mean that it's right. That's why we don't switch. Because we have to hold on to that falsehood. That's our security. We don't want to give up. You know what? You ever heard the expression, he'd rather die than give up. Or he'd rather fight than switch. That's what we do. We'd rather fight than switch. But what we're giving up is nothing compared to what you gain. Now, if he would have believed the verses, he would know that he has all of the Holy Spirit that he can get the moment he got saved. He had all the power that he can get the moment he got saved, and the way he accessed that power was through the information that he did not have. So
the power that he received, how would he know?
That's what he thought. Look at this verse. Look at Ephesians. I'll show you the power right here. Most people, you know what? They look for power in the experience, right? Mm-hmm. And you know what? The problem with that is you always got to one up. You know, when I say one up, you always got to go higher in the experience. Otherwise, I don't see the power. Mm-hmm. You know, they want you like a superhero. You know, like you got superheroes that, you know, they can zap things out of their hand, and that's how you know they got power. But that's not how God's power works today. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 15. We just read these verses and then we'll go back to Corinthians and close out. He says, Paul's writing to the Ephesians. He says, matter of fact, look at 15. He says, wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. So you got saved. Paul said, that's great. He said, you love the believers. That's great. He says, now I'm praying for you, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. You know what? He's praying it. I want you, that's a small s, by the way. He says, I want you to have the spirit or the desire, the want to know him. You know, saints get saved and they don't care if they know the Lord or not any further. They know him to get saved, but he said, I want you to get to know him. He says, I'm praying that you would have that desire to get to know him. How do you get to know him? You keep reading. He says, and by the spirit of the wisdom may give you unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe. The exceeding greatness of his power. He said, I want you to know about that. He says, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. He says, I'm praying that you get to know him, that you know why he saved you, and you know the power that he has available to you. Now flip over to chapter 3. Verse 18, verse 17. All right, 16. That's it. He says that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. Now that's a big S. To strengthen in the inner man that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Verse 20, he says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Now, that's a whole lot right there that he's praying for us to know and to get to know. And he says, and he's able to do that according to the power that what?
Works.
Listen, he said works where? In us.
I wonder why he didn't pray that we do or act better.
You know what? He does. All right, look at Colossians. Hold the hand. That ain't gonna get you off the hook, brother. He does. Colossians chapter 1. Verse 9. For this cause, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you that, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Why? That you might what? Walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. Here's what the power does. It doesn't have you, you know, speaking in tongues. It doesn't have you fighting all these with these, you're right, casting out Satan and this is what it does for you. It strengthens you according to his glorious power unto all what? Patience. And what? And what? Giving thanks unto the Father which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. The power, you know what? The power that God works in us, the exceeding greatness of his power, it's, you know what? It's a power that helps you endure. That's what people don't talk about.
Not expel,
right. It keeps you, it's the power that, not the power that explodes from you, it's the power that keeps you from imploding. Under the circumstances, under the tribulations, under the pressure, under the trials and the tribulations, that's the power. It keeps you. And when you read that, that's where you see where it's, you know what? It's the power that, like Roy was saying, you know, Roy passed away, but it's the power that gets your mind right. Where you don't expect God to do things that he won't do. Like, if you're a believer and you're in jail and you're praying every day, it's like, God's going to work it out. He's going to get me out of here. Okay?
It's like praying for the lottery.
Those are the things that we're told things. You know what? If God's power, he won't let you be poor. Okay? I know a lady that was, she was, believe in God that he's gonna make a way for me to stay in this house. Roll by one day, guess what? Furniture out. She was evicted. I said, well, guess God's arm got a little short on that one. He couldn't deliver.
Didn't
want her in the house. That's not God's fault. That's something that she was expecting God to do something, his power. That God said, I'm not in the real estate business.
Maybe
that's not going to work.
He
Well, we make excuses like that, right? God's got something bigger and better for me. That's why He put me out this house.
Why does God refer to gold and silver and diamonds and rubies? What difference does it make in heaven? I mean, you know, what is so important about those?
So we can relate to Christ.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let's pray and then we'll talk about that a little bit more, because
right.
That's so much for the 45 minutes, right? Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the time spent around your word. We pray that something was heard tonight that will strengthen us and encourage us, give us a better understanding of what we've read and how it applies to our life. We just thank you again for this time we spent here. We thank you for the word. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you for these believers who have come out tonight. Strengthen us according to our needs and edify us through your word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.